The Gorecast is brought to you by American Horrors, the greatest uncut horror channel in the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all horror. As well as the station of decapitation, Without Your Head.
America's longest running horror channel, www.withoutyourhead.com.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
One. What's up, Gorecasters? Welcome back here to the Gorecast with me, Johnny Deadly, and all the rest of these cinema-loving sons of a bitches. To the right of me. Left of me. That's the one.
We're somewhere.
Yeah. We're here.
Right for you, but left for me.
Right, because you're the first box. We're the rest.
Yeah.
God.
Hello, Katie. Hello, Jer. Obvious. Hello, Carter.
Hey, Katie. Hey, Jer.
Hello.
Hey, Carter. Hey, how are you? Hey, how's it going? Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, so today we have two movies up on the block for review. The reason there's only two this week is because we have an interview with one of the directors. He was unfortunately not able to make it live, but we're pretty fresh off the interview. Actually, we only finished up with him maybe about 20-30 minutes ago. So yeah. We have a quick little nippy interview in the middle of the show with the one and only James Cullen Bresick.
Oi, Bill.
Hello, Billiam. How are you? Welcome in.
Hello.
Isn't me you're looking for?
Nope. Oh, yeah. Well,
that lady made my face, even though she cannot see.
Oh, yeah. I love that music video.
God, I forgot.
Kind of creepy that she did that. I kind of don't know how that happened.
Made out of clay, I think.
Made out of clay, too. So not only did she have fantastic modeling skills in the first place for a blind person, but also managed to... I don't know. Does it mean that Lionel Richie didn't exist? He was actually in her head?
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe she was only blind for a little bit. I mean, she was...
Oh, I mean, it was like a temporary...
Blind.
Oh, so she... Oh, they left that out of the story?
Like, yeah,
so it was like, oh, she's
got
blind
like
at the start.
Acid through in her eyes or something like that.
Yeah, I won't lie to you. I'm pretty sure that's not temporary blindness if you get that done. Just...
Well, no, I meant... I meant more recently. Like, maybe she just got blind recently. And she knew what he looked like. But... She's blind now, so she was remembering what he looked like before she had acid thrown in her eyes.
And doing a damn good job making the...
Yeah. The dark side of Lionel Richie.
It's probably not, though, is it?
I don't know. I was alive in the 80s, but now in the video, I was a baby.
I won't lie to you. I would have been more like... Oh, she wasn't actually blind. Do you know, it was a case of like someone like shone a really bright light at her before the start of the music video.
Or she's faking it.
Or she's just faking it, yeah.
Yeah, it is a music video, so they're not fully truthful. Those damn liars in music videos.
I won't lie to you, if you were faking something, that'd be the way to go. I'm a blind woman that's able to imaginate people in my brain, turn them into clay models, but it turns out the clay models are real people. Or did those people exist before I made the clay model? I don't know. I'm after putting a real dark turn on the Lionel Richie classic.
Can't get any darker than just having acid thrown in her eyes, so.
Tis true.
That's where I'm going. That's my interpretation of the song, or the music video, not the song.
Jonathan, so. Can you come to my house and have a 08 night, 2008 night? I'm there.
Going old school.
That was an 8. Maybe you guys can get together and make clay things of Lionel Richie.
I can guarantee you that actually, I won't lie to you, if it was 2008, that's probably not one of the stranger things that could have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking in my head there as well. I was kind of going, hang on a second, where was I when... Yeah.
I was fucked up enough in 2008 that if there was clay around, I'm sure I would have attempted something.
I'm pretty sure around about that time would have been where I got woke up one night by a knock on my door, two lads sticking their heads in going, Giz, get up, we brought you a house party. And a conga line of college people walking past. And then hefty bat. It was an interesting night.
Don't do business on continental grounds. We'll take it to the ocean, Bill. It'll be fine. We've all got rafts. It's Ireland.
Did any of them try to make a clay thing of
international waters?
Lionel Richie. Jesus Christ. I forgot. I was talking to Giz's story about the conga line.
Tristan started high school in 2008.
Thought you were Irish.
I was 4 years out of high school by 2008. I graduated.
Adley's just like, nailed it. Yeah. I figured.
2008, that was the year.
Get your ray finger out, cuz.
That was the year. Never mind.
That's the year I should probably forget. Hello! Is it me?
Yeah, I know you're. Yeah, hence high school. What? Don't you mean secondary school?
That's what it's called here.
Yeah, but she's not there. She's here.
Oh!
There we
touché.
Go.
Did you not know Katie wasn't in America?
Nah. What?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Could have been like... I don't know. I didn't really think this through. Anywho.
You did not. I heard that feathering off instantaneously.
I heard the gears grinding to a halt.
How do I smell toast in my bedroom?
How to live this?
I thought you were going to say, why do I smell baguettes again?
No. Okay, there we go. No, stop doing a spindly-dindly! Internet?
Y'all wrong, I'm on Mars.
Do they call it secondary school in Mars? Wait, what? Oh, okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Phil, Lionel Richie in a horror film, Mike Myers knocks on the door. Hello? Is it me you're looking for? And gets stabbed.
Probably. If it was the new Blumhouse Mike Myers, it'd probably be some stupid word.
One can dream. Anyway, speaking of dreaming, we're talking about first because it makes more sense. Because there's... Yeah, thank you.
Gold.
It's a good segue. So this is a movie from
2002.
This poster is fucking with me.
It's called The Sleep Experiment. It might sound familiar because it's been on the internet for ever.
Dude, I got 2022.
That's what it said.
Oh, I heard 2002.
Maybe I said too fast. Bird.
Anywho, it's a movie about a bunch of guys to get locked in a room together. And they're not allowed to sleep.
The end.
And I won't lie to you, from a man who's done several days of no sleep, some of those people need to man the fuck up, to be blatantly honest.
Yeah. It's, they try and do this little experiment where, like, we're going to keep people up for 30 days because of soldiers. We need soldiers to not sleep so they can kill each other awake. And they do this. And it doesn't go very well for the people involved.
Turns out people who haven't slept for 30 days quite cranky.
Yeah.
They don't even, to be fair, they actually don't even make it the full 30 days before they start getting cranky, as you put it.
8 days.
I was going to say, I thought it was like 8 was the longest they were.
There was into like 4 or 13 or I don't know.
Well, I got to 6 or 7 and I was fucking loopy.
It was like,
didn't murder anybody, weirdly enough, though. So, oh,
well, you didn't have any of the gas, though.
I forgot about the gas. Yes. Yeah.
The gas makes you all... Oh, my God, I stepped on a curly fry.
Oh, no.
Pick that up.
Yep, that's what, that's what the gas makes you all, all right? The gas makes you all, like, you just stepped on it.
Now, before we get a little more in-depth into the plot, although I won't lie to you.
We just did.
We just kind of did get in-depth into the plot.
No, there is more to it.
No, there is. There is more to it. Before we get in-depth to it, I'm going to... preface this whole review with the fact that the guy's picture, the face in the picture, is pretty much my reaction to this movie.
Yeah. Yep.
The whole time. Am I screaming in anger? Maybe. Am I yawning? Most probably.
I am probably the only one out of the lot of us that seem to enjoy the film.
My problem is there is a lot of potential for a really good movie in there, and they fluffed it.
I think, honestly, I thought it was going to be worse than it was.
I thought it was well acted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See,
and shot very well.
Yeah.
The way the film is presented is you have a doctor who's approached by two cops. They say that there's been a recent leak regarding the company that he used to work for.
We
just want to ask you a couple of questions in regard to this leak. And
just a couple of quick little questions in regards to the leak and human rights abuse.
It's primarily concerning an experiment he was involved with, in which five prisoners were given the opportunity for early release, provided they could stay awake for 30 days while being administered this drug designed to keep them awake. Over the course of the 30 days, their cognitive functions would be tested with various different physical and mental tests, just to see how they're getting on. On the surface, it sounds fucking nuts. Who the fuck would volunteer for this? But at the same time, you know, they're potentially looking
30 years.
Yeah, right. 30 days. Yeah. You know, they're all more or less lifers. Now, they don't admit that to each other when they go in at first. They're all, you know, playing it off as in, oh, I'm a thief and, you know, I skipped out of my taxes or whatever else.
But except for one psychopath with a terrible goatee who's pretty much like, I murder people.
Oh, no, he said first that he evaded taxes.
And then he said he murdered a girl.
Oh, yeah, after a while. After a while.
I won't lie to you. He wasn't doing a really good job of convincing me he got done for taxes.
Yeah, right. He wasn't. But,
very Hannibal.
Yeah, as the way that the story is presented is basically as the cops interviewing this doctor, and we see the progress over the course of each day with the lads, you know, doing nothing for the first couple of days, and you know, just
you saw Phil's message as well, Carter, did you?
Yep.
I see Carter's wearing his anal girl t-shirt, and then I looked at it and I was like, oh, his necklace is blocking letters in the middle of that.
There we go.
Really, we love you too, Hanley.
See you later, Hanley.
Bye, man.
But as I was saying, the story is presented as an interview whereby the doctor is explaining the details of the experiment. We're seeing it in day by day situations. Each prisoner is supposed to be given a diary so that they can record, you know, their own
bad idea.
To record their own mental state. Over the course of the interviews, we find out that the doctor wasn't just a researcher involved. He was actually the head researcher, and he might have kind of designed the experiment and a couple other interesting things that we find out along the way, including the fact that, strangely enough, that one of the cops has a bit of a personal connection to this case, and that's just... I think it's okay to get into it.
It's 2022.
Yeah, it turns out his dad was one of the prisoners that was involved.
Irish guy, I would imagine.
I was going to ask, like, did they ever specify? Because I kind of started getting names.
He looks the head off the Irish lad.
Did you think that? Okay. I didn't think the Irish lad, the whole point was that he didn't have any kids or any family.
He looked like it.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Joseph, how are you? Hey, Joseph. Is it the Irish lads? I fell asleep. The sleep experiment worked.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it ever said. Yeah, it doesn't.
I think he looks... He looks a lot like the Irish lad. It just might be casting-wise. He looks a lot like the Irish lad.
Over the course of the film, we get a rough outline of the different characters' backstories, I guess, which works into their delusions. Because after, like, day four or five, they start seeing things. You know, there's the big bald dude who's in there. I can't remember why he was in there, but... Oh, yeah, that was it. His daughter went missing, and he went tracking down the people that got her missing, and he got violent with people, and as a result, he got locked up.
He put down two soldiers.
That's later on, dude. I'm talking about
the flashback. They said he attacked like two soldiers or some shit.
No, that's when they're trying to pull him out. That's what he does when they're pulling him out.
Okay.
I
thought that was the flashback, and they said something about he had attacked soldiers or something, like two of them, you know, and it kind of looked like in a bar. So I thought
somebody in a bar. They could have been soldiers.
I think you're getting it mixed up, because when the lads go into retrieve him at the end, there's two that get mauled there. But he does jump lads in a bar, and the idea, I think that, because it's never said outright, but I think the idea is that those are guys that he thought were involved with his daughter's disappearance, and that's how he ends up getting locked up, because he's a big dude, so one would imagine he kind of went off the rails.
He's a hefty chap.
The guy with the goatee claims that he basically killed anybody that disrespected his mother, and then implies that he was the one responsible for your man's daughter's disappearance. It's the kind of the researcher.
Needless to say, that goes as well as expected.
Yeah, at this stage, you know, it's
that would have gone as well as expected on day one, though. To be honest.
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck he pushed himself that far.
He was an idiot. I think
he was just testing the waters.
No, at that stage, he enjoyed
pushing people.
No, at that stage,
there were 8 days in. He was batshit fucking crazy. 15 days in. So whatever level of craziness he was at beforehand is...
Yep. Now, we do see their progression. We also see that one of the guys is getting dragged out every few days, and he's claiming to have an asthma attack. Hey, Rochi.
Rochi.
Yes, actually, it is the creepy pasta. That's exactly what
this is. That is literally what it's based on, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With just some stuff added into it.
Yeah. So, like I said, your man gets... There's a guy getting dragged out, and it's pretty obvious that he's the plant. Now, they have... The film itself is actually broken up into chapters. There's chapter one, is the investigation. Chapter two, chapter... There's one of the chapters is labeled the imposter, and that's kind of where the coughing fits that lead to my asthma kick in.
I must have missed the part, because like I think I went from chapter one to chapter four, and it's like I don't know if that's how
Dense
numbers
me,
work.
Like, you also fell asleep during this movie
with my eyes open. I may just my eyes were looking at it, but I think inside something just went and turned off.
I personally found it interesting because the premise of the scientific experiment and the fact that it was laid out as a criminal interview, like a police investigation, rather than what I thought it was going to be, which would be, you know, a bunch of lads lined up and we'd end up having to find out, you know, fucking backstory for every guy individually and testing process, who gets in and who doesn't. I didn't think they'd actually get stuck in a room until like the last fucking 45 minutes or something. So, like I said, I wasn't expecting much. This was better than what I thought it was, and it managed to do enough to keep me entertained and to keep me watching for most of it. And yeah, there was stuff that I thought they could have done better. Like I said, the cop that decides to go investigating on his own at night into the house that's unlocked is just like, gee, call for backup, you're a fucking idiot. But at that stage, it did feel like they were trying to wrap up the story, I guess,
seemed like it kind of like the first, I don't know, like the first 30 minutes or 40 minutes or so was kind of like a slow build, and we're just like finding shit out, which normally happens. And then it was just like that last like 20 minutes or so, just like boom, here's all it's insanity. And it's just like, oh, just whoa, like let's take a chill pill. You need to ease into some of these things.
I mean, I was happy. Fair, I kind of got the feeling that the credits were going to be following soon.
It's a secluded room, and once something kicks off, it's going to be kicked
off.
You know,
I like. It seems like it's more doing the usual, I don't say trope, but like it seems like it's the usual thing I say for movies that I normally just don't like, where shot well, acted okay, everything else garbage.
For the most part, I thought, you know, like I said, shot well, acted well. I thought the story was good. It's just that the delivery of some parts, particularly near the end of it, just because they didn't know what the fuck they were supposed to do. Like I said, this is
based meanders a bit, I think.
This is based on a creepypasta. Now, they changed a bunch of stuff. It's far more horrific in the original creepypasta.
Yeah, I would say the creepypasta, and it's a lot more
visceral.
Like, I don't want to say supernatural, but like there is a thing to where like at all of a sudden these guys had superhuman powers they were stronger than they were supposed to be, and they're able to avoid being dead even though they've had self-mutilation and
they played off as side effects of whatever gas they were being pumped with, which if we're going the mad scientist route, okay, I'm willing to go with, you know, particularly when they're saying that, you know, they don't respond to any form of sedatives or anesthesia. Of course not. They're probably fucking, their adrenal glands are probably on fucking overdrive at this stage. And
I thought that was a bad decision on their part.
Yeah, I mean, let's say there is a pseudoscience that can go with the whole, they're stronger, they're faster, we can't put them down because their adrenal
not just your adrenaline, but I think it's like,
yeah,
once you get to that level of sleep deprivation, your caveman brain starts to kick in a little bit.
another part of it. Like you said, we don't know exactly what the gas was in the gas. All we know is that it was designed to keep people awake. So from that point on, you can use whatever pseudoscience you want. And it can fucking look at, you know, you can base it on real life stuff. And there is a way to go. With this, they decided to take the basic notion and build their own story, whereby they have the prisoners interacting with each other. Now, they could have in the creepypasta anyway, the way that it's described. But they have more of a scientific methodology put in day by day, and especially in regards to the police investigation, because the idea is that these deaths occurred and now there is repercussions for it, as opposed to the original story in which it's Soviet-era Russia and it's all in the name of the state. Now, the scientist in question, the researcher, does say, I was brainwashed into thinking I was doing the best thing for the government, and he's using that as an excuse. We get a nice little twist at the end.
Roachy explained that very well. Psychotropic effects of their minds breaking.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was a nice little twist at the end whereby it turns out that, you know, this wasn't so much an accident as, you know, a planned experiment, so to speak. You know,
I like the ending of it. It was just mainly getting to it that was my biggest problem.
The journey, for film production guy to come in and talk about the film production side of things, it's actually fantastically well shot. Like, there's never a stagnant moment during it, even though there's a lot of stagnant moments in the conversations, in my opinion. But the police interrogation scenes are lit really nicely. It's real moody. It's a little twinge of black and white and some lighting coming through some shutters away from being full-on film noir, with the feel of it. The acting is impeccable. Like, everyone does a really good job with their characters. It's just that the story,
it
kind of never really goes anywhere until it does, in a landslide of shit 15 minutes away from the end of the movie. From what I've been told, I genuinely did fall asleep watching this.
And they, like, the same with the original creepypasta, then we said they flesh it out a lot, because obviously the original story is a short story, so you can only do so much. So it's like a lot of the police interrogation, that whole thing is added to it.
Yeah.
The original actual story is just, we put five prisoners in this thing and there's a gas and we checked on them, and they were supposed to, for the soldiers, because they were testing it to see if they could keep soldiers awake nonstop so that they can, you know, it is an advantage in the war. And then they obviously start going crazy. It's just, like, a lot, like I said, a lot of the stuff that, like, with the police interrogation, that was all added from the story. And it's just, like, obviously it fits, but it just doesn't, I don't know. The police interrogation stuff and the...
Honestly,
I was actually okay with the police interrogation. Like, that actually kind of gave me something to do.
Like I said, because of it being a short story, the creepypasta, you'd expect some kind of fleshing out. What I thought it was going to be would have been the selection process of prisoners, maybe fucking, you know, the experiment being...
Maybe stuff leading up to the experiment, the back end.
The fact that it went with a police investigation was what got my attention first and managed to keep my attention, because it wasn't what I was expecting, and it did inject a certain amount of tension to things where I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting a very slow build, whereas having the back and forth between the detectives and the scientists at least gave us something else, rather than selection process, experimentation, then the guys in the tank, and that's going slowly. You know, I felt if they're going to flesh it out, I thought that was a good way of doing it. That being said, though, I think if they had stuck with how things went, that could have been not only a more visceral film, but maybe it could have come off a bit better. They could have been able to, you know, have the story be a little bit more entertaining, I guess, because of the fact that the breakdown seems to happen quicker in the original story than it would have in this.
Yes.
No, I'd agree with you. And it's also, I think another part of the issue with the movie is when you base something off of a creepypasta, especially when it's kind of a well-known creepypasta, there's a certain expectation as to where you're expecting it to go, if you know what I mean. And it's just that you never really get there. Like, you're expecting this kind of... I'll catch you later, Bill. You're expecting this kind of visceral ending to everything that's happened. and it never really gets to that level at all.
Yeah.
And you are kind of getting geared, even though the conversations are a little bit boring at times, you are kind of getting geared to this, you know, you're watching people ramp up the gears as the days are going on, so you're expecting it to go that way. And then it's just like, oh, he beat him to death and bit some of his face. Okay.
Right. Right.
Did we see that? No. The cop said, all right. Okay. Great.
Well, we do see when the extraction team goes in, we do see the big dude kind of chomping into the neck of someone, but it's a very... I don't know why the hell they left all the lights on, and then they go in with flashlights to see the lads are still awake. Lights should go on immediately to see where the psychopaths are.
Yeah, 100%.
And once you saw that they were still awake, backpedal. You know what?
Yeah,
this is not...
absolutely.
let's just wait. Rethink the situation.
Not even backpedal, but just be like, hey guys, start shooting knees.
Yeah. Go in a dark room with a bunch of crazies.
Right.
See what happens.
Right, we're going to hit the trailer for the sleep experiment. We'll be back to do our votes, and then we have a little surprise for you after that. Well, it's not a surprise, it's in the title. It's an interview with Colin Brezik. We'll be back in a moment.
Congratulations. You have been accepted to take part in the sleep experiment. If you comply with the following requirements, all charges currently held against you will be dropped, and you will be automatically released from your prison sentence. You must stay awake for the next 30 days. You must complete all physical activities. We will be testing an experimental gas that will be administered to you to prevent you from falling asleep.
There we go. That's the end of that. Anyway, yeah, that's the trailer for the sleep experiment. Votes, anybody?
Four. I liked the ending. 3.
I'm going to give it a good solid 6. Because, I honestly, if it went the way that I thought it was going to go based on the trailer, then it was getting a 2 or a 3. But it's... It was entertaining enough for me. I thought
I give it a 4. Looked good, acting was good. It's not the worst thing I've seen. I did watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies a few weeks ago.
Still so.
You're fine.
Something leaves scars.
I give it a 4.
My mind is a wondrous thing at times.
I'm going to start with 7. And then, because the 7 is the sound design and everything in it's great. Everything sounds awesome. All the guys' audio and everything sounds silky smooth. The cinematography in it's really good. There's some nice shots, and they do help you feel quite claustrophobic in that room, in the way they shoot a lot of the conversational angles. They're all very, very tight, or very tight shot, one-to-one shots, or real tight two-person shots. There's no soundtrack or even a score for as much, but I think that's actually in credit to the movie. It helps you feel that you're locked in just this room with the guys. So that gets it a 7. Unfortunately, I'm taking 1 off because it the story just kind of starts good and then just hits this plateau where it just continues on that constant level for the bulk of the movie until you get to the thing at the end. I took a little bit off as well, just because there was potential for this to be a lot better. storyline wise, I mean, the source material you were using, I think you could have gone a little bit bigger on the ending, to be honest. Yeah, so I'm going to give it a what did I say? 7. I took off 2. Yeah, so say 5. Give it a 5. It's just middle of the road. It looks really good. The story's okay. It's just it meanders along a little bit. Like, I'll put it this way. It's the type of movie that even though it's really serious and it looks like it's got a real in-depth plot, you could put this on and be chatting away in a room full of people and not particularly lose track of what's going on.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 5.
Just moved up 3, 4, 5, 6.
Just yeah. Just middle of the road.
3, 4, 5, 6. 11, 12.
So that is a 4.5 from the Gorecast boys for sleep experiment. Anybody have any final thoughts?
That was my final thought.
It's in my one and done pile.
Yeah. I will say, not like, because I know three of us have kind of like marginally shat on the movie for a good bit of the review, but as a one and done movie, it's. I would say you wouldn't be like overtly disappointed if you watched it, Jimmy, but I would recommend watching it maybe one time. I'll put it that way. You know, as middle of the road movies go, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the bar is, it's not Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. So that's already.
Is that the new bar now? Because then that's the measuring stick, this is a 10 or possibly an 11.
I think he's probably setting that as the low bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then that still would be, this would make that a 10 or an 11. Right. Okay. As was mentioned earlier, we sat down. The next movie we have coming up is Murder Anyone, which is done by director James Cullen Bresic. We've covered a couple of his movies on here before. We've had him on before for a movie he did called Bethany. And we also covered his recent movie, which the name eludes me, but it had Bruce Willis and Zach Ward in it. It was the action movie. It was great fun.
Oh. Yeah.
The name's gone out of my head.
Speak a little bit.
Yeah.
Speak a little bit. I'll find it.
Yes. It was an action movie where Bruce Willis was in it as a stoic, captured CIA agent. And another gentleman whose name eludes me had to go and
survive the game.
That's it, yeah. And then Zach Ward was a badass, which was cool because you don't usually get to see Zach Ward be a badass. Well, be a bad guy.
It's got Chad Michael Murray.
It's got Chad Michael. He's the guy that goes and does all the badassery against Zach Ward and the other guy whose name I can't remember, who's the head of the organization that Zach Ward works for. It's his brother. I remember that.
And the Harlequin chick.
And the Harlequin chick, yes. Who we all loved.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And Zach Ward was a little bit jokerish as well, but without the, you know,
Mickey Jean.
Do you know how I got these scars? We didn't have that kind of it, but he had the I like destroying and blowing up things, woo wee, side of the Joker.
And I remember Bruce Willis was just didn't feel like dealing with people's shit in that movie. He just kind of sat around and.
Yeah, well, also that would apparently have been due to the medical issues that Bruce Willis had, so yeah, that's understandable. It's why I used the word stoic at the.
Yeah,
that was my polite way.
That was a fun movie. I remember it.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to chuck you over to the interview really quick, and then we will be back with an interview. Not an interview. We will be back from an interview with a review of the movie called Murder Anyone. See you in a moment. Okay. We'll.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. What's up, everybody? And we're back from the trailer, and we're now on the live show, but we're not live anymore because we have sat down to do a pre-recorded interview about the movie we're going to be talking about next, which is Murder Anyone by the one and only James Cullen Bresic. Thank you for coming over to the show. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. We're such a good movie.
It was a good laugh.
Oh, so good.
I have to say, the movie, it's a beautiful, virtually tutorial on how you can do a complete meta movie while staying completely meta the entire way through, which is hard to do, but executed fantastically in it. Did you find it hard to make all of that align properly, storyline wise?
You know, such beautiful work was done by my dad in the script writing process and stuff. And you know, part of my journey in making this movie is I had seen the play that he had put on, like he had written it and directed the play. And so I kind of followed what I remembered of what he did and then put my own spin on it. but still preserving his words and his style and legacy. And, you know, that was like the main goal with this was to, you know, be able to, you know, honor his words. And I thought, what better project to do it on than this? Because one of the last creative endeavors he did was he wrote and directed this play, which came from when I kept saying to him, hey, Dad, why are you spending all your time writing plays when you could be writing movies? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, you're just wasting money doing plays. You could be making money doing movies. And he responded by writing this play. So I thought that was
I'll show you.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, and so I was like, "What better a project to honor him with?"
So you're kind of the secondary character in the movie to a certain degree.
Well, no, he'd be the main secondary one. Character was played by Charlie Howell, who was his real life writing partner, and the character was called Charlie.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I would say, like, I might have been the colonel that started the idea, but that character was modeled after Charlie.
Okay, gotcha.
I was
hoping someone else to jump in.
Okay. Obviously, it's a labor of love because you were dedicating it to your father. So, like, how does it feel to see this, you know, come out to people now? And for people to see it,
you know, it's been a really interesting experience. Like, you know, we did the film festival circuit and we won a good amount of awards, and I was super honored to be winning awards for my dad, like best screenplay and stuff. That was like a really special thing to be getting, because it's like, you know, hey, you know, I was able to, like, the point of doing this was to honor his work, and the fact that he's, you know, posthumously getting these awards and accolades and good reviews is you know, job well done on my part. I look at it because, you know, I made this movie for an audience of one. You know, I made this for, like, really, like, to honor him, and he'll never see it. But I made it. Yeah. I made it to be, you know, his, you know, for him. And so, you know, it's just been really special seeing how many people care about it and enjoyed the movie. And I mean, it's been an interesting experience. I mean, this is the first time I've ever self-financed a movie. Like, I financed this myself. I paid for it, and you know, I didn't make it with the intention of anybody ever, you know, liking it. I made it just to be off the wall and weird and have fun with it, because I really just made it the way I thought my dad would have enjoyed it. That's kind of, you know, what I went with, and it's very much him and his sense of humor. And, you know, I don't know if you guys stuck around for the mid-credit scene, but there is a mid-credit scene that also, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers, but it definitely goes towards
that was something I was going to bring up. I really like that touch.
That was really touching.
Oh, thank you so much.
It also fell back into the staying fantastically meta as well when you were doing the explanation of technically I am the guy, but it's within this other realm of the thing, and I was like, holy hell, this is so you you don't do lots of comedy normally, do you?
No, man, I don't.
I have to say the execution on the cinematography and just the dialogue as well, the comedy timing on some of this stuff is fantastically done.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I was raised by a comedy writer, and I was surrounded by comedy my whole life. I almost rebelled against the comedy side of myself by making violent horror movies and action movies to not do comedy. Because I didn't want people to say that, like, oh, well, he only got work because of his dad. Lo and behold, that's literally all people say anyway. So it doesn't matter. You know, it didn't matter that I did something different, but, you know, I think I'll definitely be doing a lot more comedy. My dad left a lot of comedy scripts behind that he had written. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you see me dive into this again.
I think it'd be a good idea. You genuinely have a natural affinity for the comedy timing of things like that. Like, I honestly I laughed my ass off at several points during this movie.
Thank you. There's an old film called Haunted Honeymoon, and there's a lot of it's a film I saw when I was a kid and very much influenced me because of the way that the story is laid out. There's people supposed to be live recording a radio play, and at the same time we're getting a visual, like a movie of what they're doing. So I was sitting down watching it, because you had the scenes going back and forth between the two writers and the film, I was sitting there kind of going, oh cool, it's like, it's similar to that but totally its own thing, because this time we get to see the writing process. And because of the way myself and Johnny have done stuff in the past where we've been trying to come up with ideas for promos and things like that, it was kind of interesting to be sitting there and kind of seeing almost the same perspective of, oh, I have this idea, yeah, that's really cool, or we could do it this way instead, I don't know about that, oh, when you describe it that way, yeah, okay, that'll work. And then to see them visually altering stuff in flow of the story. So like when the neighbor comes in, and at first she's a medium, no, we can't do that, then she's blind, and then so, and just changing them visually on the screen, the kind of goofy, almost campy, slapdash way, just, it worked and made the film feel like, okay, it is a comedy, but you understand why it's the changes, because it's these two guys discussing how best to proceed, what they want to do, how they're going to bring it in.
It's definitely fun to evolve, and also I got to give it up for my amazing cast on this, because many of them had to play the character like that they were cast as like five or six different ways. Yeah. While still preserving
Who that person did a great job doing.
Maybe
that
they're
too,
British.
Did you get did you have any improv actors kind of involved? I would have thought that would have gone down really well in that scenario.
There was only a little tiny bit of improv, which was the thing Spencer was saying when he was on the ground. When he's on the ground,
yeah.
But everything else is scripted as is. That was my dad's writing. But the Spencer on the ground, there was a little improv there.
So my favorite line, I'll get to it now. Then I wrote it down as soon as I heard it. I'm like, I'm writing it down, and I want to say how brilliant it was. Everyone gets fucked in Hollywood. The only thing you negotiate is how much lube. Genius.
And just when he does the fingers like that, it was just, we said the drill, just like,
he's talking about lubricant and money. Yeah. That was not only a quote in the movie, but that was a quote that my dad said all the time.
Oh.
He had a lot of Hollywood quotes. He would say that one, for instance, and then he would also always say, the highest form of sincerity is a check.
Oh, myself and your dad would have got along, James, I think.
Because he's like, anybody who says, oh, I'd love to work with you, yeah, everybody will say that, but where's the check?
Yeah.
Prove it.
Yeah, when I heard that line, I was just like, oh my god, I had to write it down, because I was just like, I don't know why that stood out to me at that time of the movie. I was just like, hilarious. Great, brilliant.
There was a couple other really good ones as well, and I just, there was one or two other ones, and just for the life of me, I can't remember them like now.
Which is good, because people should probably watch the movie to hear the lines themselves.
The thing about the movie is, you know, it's very much about the battle, you know, artists have within themselves about whether or not to sell out and do something that's commercial, or stick to their guns and do something that's like, you know, art, and the battle within ourselves of like, well, you know, do we want to have a career doing this, or do we want to do art? And finding that balance, and how hard it is to truly find that balance, because like eventually, you know, you lose sight of what you were even trying to do. And so I think that was very masterfully written by my dad in there in a very silly way.
Yeah,
it's a hard thing to do, because it's you're taking something that you love and you're trying to turn it into a job, essentially. And when you try to do... It's very hard to keep it both ways all the time. Do you know what I mean? That I love it and it's a job. Sometimes it's gonna have to be a job, and I just gotta do what, you know. Totally get it, 100%.
For sure. Which it's a hard experience too, because like, especially like with writing, you know what I mean? Like, because in writing, people will give you notes, you know, and you'll be like, well,
why don't you just leave me do what I want to
like,
do?
Like, no, it's better this way. Like, it's better this way. But then you also realize, like, it's weird because it's like, well, they're paying for it. So in their minds, they're just like, why are you not just doing the note that I gave you?
No.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like in your mind,
I have like a three strike rule with it, where it's like I'll be like, okay, I get what you're saying, but the reason I'm looking to do it this way is because down the road this is what I'm hoping to happen or whatever, and I'll try that two times, and on the third time if it doesn't work, I'm just like, okay, we'll just swap it over, that's fine. No problem.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's a very interesting balance that we all have to take in this business. I think that's kind of a lot of what this movie dives into as well. They say that the giraffe was the only animal formed by committee.
I thought that was the duck-billed platypus.
Nah, because it's the giraffe, because they're like, oh yeah, well, I like it, but why doesn't it have a long neck? And somebody else is like, ooh, give it some horns.
Not too pointy though, because I don't want anyone to get hurt by them, so if we could have them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's why they're up. That's why they're up so high, because there's no way that anyone can get up there, you know, they're on top of the head.
Yeah.
So how
I was looking
was
for a horse for, but with a 50 foot, sorry Carter,
I was just saying, how long was filming for this?
You know, it was a shorter shoot, specifically just because if you look at it, like, there's so many long scenes because right. It was a play, you know. So it was a short, breezy shoot for sure.
I know you were mentioning some of the people that Carla Collins, who was in the original play, I noticed, and then
yes,
you also had. Trying to read my notes. There you go. Charles Howell. Those are all like friends of your dad and stuff like that. So
yeah, Charles Howell was my dad's writing partner.
Yeah.
He knew my dad longer than I did.
How was it like to have them on board, since, you know, they kind of...
It was really special. I mean, having Carla there, it was great because she had another inside scoop on how my dad directed and did the play. I mean, she was in it for a few months. And then my dad's, you know, best friend, Maurice LaMarche, played the character that was based on my dad. And Maurice does amazing impressions. So it was interesting seeing somebody doing an impression of my father.
I'm glad you actually brought that up, because I was going to say, you have to pass on my, salutations of greatness on, he does an amazing Jack Nicholson.
He does.
Jack Nicholson. I turned away from my desk at one stage and I just heard the Jack Nicholson voice. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he was also the voice of the Brain in Pinky and the Brain. Yeah. And he's the voice of, you know, Calculon on Futurama and Morbo. And I mean, he's the voice of everything.
I am much. Calculon.
Such a good character. I miss Futurama.
Oh, yeah.
Was there, like, any really big differences from, like, the play from the movie form? Like, do you add a lot, or...?
You know, well, the mid-credit scene was added.
Okay.
You know, that wasn't in the play, because, you know, that wouldn't have been something he would have written.
I imagine the intermission is probably part of the original play.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, like, stunt doubles thing, it was different in the play. That was, instead of stunt doubles, they used like wires and like people in black holding everybody up. It was done in slow motion, like very different than the
I love
thing.
That.
So that
I love that.
Translating to the movie, it became different.
That's one
that
of the
part.
That fight scene.
Oh, dude, that was very Mortal Kombat.
It was totally Mortal Kombat. That is like a Mortal Kombat, definitely Mortal Kombat inspired tune. Playing during it.
Yes, inspired, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely inspired.
Well, I suppose we're going to have to let you go, James, from the looks of the timing, I think.
I was having so much fun.
Well,
thank
we can
you
get you,
so
we can get you back on some other
fun.
Time, dude. It's been great to have you back
yes,
on.
Definitely.
As we're going to be reviewing the movie after this finishes, but in advance, because I'm sure you've gathered that we enjoyed it, go out, rent, or buy the movie.
Murder anyone?
It's goddamn an entertaining
murder
afternoon
anyone?
Sitting in.
And tell your friends.
Spread
tell
the word.
Everybody.
Yes,
oh, definitely.
There will be a share button on this interview. Share it. Spread the word. Let people know of the movie and its greatness.
Anyway, we're going to see you back over the main studio. James, again, thank you very much for joining us. And I hope the movie strives on to even more greatness than what it's destined to be.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you all for such kind words on the film. I'm glad you guys enjoyed
it. Oh, it was a good laugh, man. It was a good laugh.
Take care, man.
There we go. That was our interview with Mr. Brezik about the movie we're about to review, which I need to get a poster for because that's still the sleep experiment.
We're wearing the same clothes as we were in the interview because that happened not that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't think so.
Which Buzz forgot. Buzz thought I did a costume change in the middle of the night. That didn't happen.
Came out a while ago. Wait, Johnny, you wearing the same t-shirt you wore for the interview? Yes, I was literally sitting here the entire time.
I was just so dedicated to the interview that I just didn't realize you guys had clothes on. So.
What? Alrighty.
It was laser focused. I was laser focused at my notes that I couldn't read.
Alright, apologies about some minor editing happening here on the movie poster, but...
I thought you were apologizing for Buzz.
No, never.
He's done apologizing for me.
I don't take responsibility for Buzz. Everybody knows that.
It's a lost cause by now.
Very wise choice. Wait, you don't take responsibility for me either, do you?
No.
No.
Very, very wise choice.
I stopped around season 2.
I'm surprised you last.
That explains why the show... Okay, that makes sense. Makes sense. Something talking while he's doing things, trying to have some.
Oh, you can talk normally.
Yeah. Well, how did you guys like the interview in the chat?
Did you guys enjoy the interview?
Did you learn things? I enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy? Did you actually enjoy the pre-recorded side of the interview? Because one of the reasons we don't have people on, or it has bit us in the bum in having people on sometimes, is due to time zone differences.
Yeah.
And when our show out compared to when other shows go out. So if you guys enjoyed the pre-recorded version, there is a lot more opportunity for more interviews.
I like it. We're still able to do our stuff. And
I don't care what you think,
bonuses.
Buzz. I'm talking to the crowd.
Oh, the crowd cares what I care about. Right, crowd?
That's been blatantly proven not to be true ever.
See? I just heard the crowd saying no.
You didn't hear anything because they would be typing. They're not verbal.
It's,
you can't hear. You can see them saying
that. Funnily enough, just like sometimes when I'm reading a book and it's almost like I can hear the voice of the characters in my head. It's just like
Randy Orton.
I hear voices in my head.
RKO.
Randy hears the voices of go wrestle, make money.
Well, he can't. He's got boo-boos.
Heal up, go wrestle, make money.
I think he's made enough money from the wrestles. He can take a break.
And he's done some marine movies.
He did do one.
Yeah, he did.
Then The Miz took over, did all the others.
Yeah. That is a thing, too. And John Cena did the first one, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it, but... but...
Oh! That's so funny. I hope someone doesn't rip that joke off and use it.
You mean like John Cena? Beep, 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 beep.
Did you see that clip I put in the Gorecast general chat of the John Cena phone call?
Oh my god!
Yes,
phone call
it's
was
so
funny.
Awesome. When they ring back, it's the military. So good, your one just be like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" We need you to help support the American military by supporting one of their own. John Cena this Sunday night at the WrestleDome.
You know when she answers the phone, I swear to God.
Bear in mind this prank phone call that he'd rang her. This is about the fifth time he'd rang her and it was all different John Cena stuff every time.
We don't want this in our house. Just stop calling me.
She should start doing what I do whenever I think I get a crank call. Gives
I don't answer the phone kind of anymore. Rhythm.
Gives us taxidermy. You snuff him, we stuff him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just go to the route and don't answer.
Anyway.
I have voicemail for a reason.
Murder anyone is a movie. I didn't even try and segue. I was just like, fuck it. Murder Anyone is a movie, as I said, directed by James Cullen Bresic. It's based off of a stage play done by his father about...
It came out 2017, yeah, I think.
About two writers, one very much wanting to adapt and go to making actual movies instead of plays because, you know, it's goddamn it, it's going to be, we'll actually make some money with our fucking scripts instead of doing these goddamn plays where we make no more money. And the other guy's a purist. He wants to stick with the art. I'm about the art of the writing and the enjoyment of seeing it unfold, and also mostly about the art of not having someone's hand up my fucking ass telling me, can we change that? I was wondering, can we move it to camera angle number two? I know it was designed to be on camera angle number one, but I was wondering, can you move to number two? I don't like the guy's denim shirt. Can we change the color of his denim shirt? I was wondering, can I get myself down as a producer on the thing because of giving you some money? No, blah, 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 blah. Fuck. Stage play, where I just go and direct. Understandable. But
sounds like someone's talking from experience over here.
And what you see unfold is the fantastic duality between two writers with two different intentions behind a fucking screenplay. Unfold live action in front of you. Like at one stage, there's one of the main characters who comes in and they're kind of like, I think you should be a little bit younger. And as you're watching stuff unfold, he literally just goes, and he's a younger dude. Yeah. There's a couple of things like it's very entertaining the way the movie's done. And the story unfolding is that of them just designing this stage play. A stage play involving mystery, intrigue, murder.
And cameras, if one writer has his way.
Cameras, importantly, yes. Lighting, stage rigs. We're going to need a dolly shot. Do we have stuntmen? Stuntmen, what the fuck do you need the stuntmen for? For the fight scene. Fight scene?
And what fucking fight scene? Where the fuck did the guy with the chicken suit come from?
We needed some action. Funnily enough, the guy with the chicken suit was written in by the guy who was looking to keep the stage play going.
It was the other dude.
Oh, was it him that added the... Oh, sorry, I thought it was the... All right, okay. Yeah, that fight scene.
There was literally a moment where I swear to the gods, I was sitting there kind of...
You didn't let me keep doing my movie headline. I got interrupted. Mystery, intrigue, murder, vampires, zombies, ninjas. A nice little sprinkle of... The salt and pepper known as the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. And did I mention murder?
Anyone?
There you go. That's the byline. We can go back into the
story. Yay!
I was going to say, there was literally a moment where it was like looking at a backwards facing mirror in a way, because one guy's typing and the other guy's leaning over his shoulder going, what the fuck are you doing? And I just had a flashback of like stuff of me and you. And you, I suggest something, you're just like, no, you fucking maniac. We can't do that.
Yeah, that literally happened.
I would say I did have a little bit of reminiscence of...
That is a fantastic idea, but we don't have this, 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 or this, do we?
There's never a this, 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 or this. It's normally budget.
Yeah.
I like your idea. Kind of. Maybe. Okay. I probably don't like your idea, but the reason I'm not even acknowledging it as an idea right now is because we do not have the money or the people to make that happen, or the money to pay the people to show up to make it happen, one or the other, whatever way you want to
look at it. Or the money for the lawsuit that might come as a result.
There's that too. I was actually only discussing this at work today because we're doing a line of... Oh yeah, I can't.
Hey, journals.
We're doing a line of some sort of... what's the best way of putting this? We're doing a line of name redacted artwork. For a company called Name Redacted, about a famous Name Redacted. But my ability to walk on the fine line that is satire, I was like, oh, don't worry. I've had years of experience of tiptoeing on the, okay, we need to satiricalize satire this up a little bit more so we don't get fucking sued. Too close to reality. We need to add an alien. We're going to need some fucking could we put it like a fucking dancing donkey in the background maybe or something?
Why can't we do it this way? Because Giz, we will get sued.
Yeah, we will get sued. There's a reason I'm keeping it entertainingly vague so I don't get sued. Except for you, Grudgery, you literally made me fall asleep and I have no problem saying that live on camera.
I didn't watch it, so but I'm pretty sure.
You'll fall asleep. Hey, journalists, how are you? Welcome in. I know someone else said that already, but I was in the middle of a rant.
Hey, journalists. Both of us in the same room at the same time fucking unconscious.
Yeah, we actually both fell asleep in my office chairs, which were not comfortable at the time.
Oh, I'm sure that movie got a bad review.
The entire trailer we wrote was the trailer we made for American Horrors was us unconscious in chairs because I was like, I actually can't even think of something that happened in the movie to make a trailer out of.
I think the joke was like one of us waking up because an alarm went off or something.
No, we heard the credits.
That was it. We heard the credits.
Yeah, it was. I was watching another interview.
We're having a good one tonight, Journalist. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, it's a good.
About the movie was like, I guess like when his dad had passed, he told him, you know, don't let, you know, my screenplays, you know, pretty much die with me. So like he had a computer just filled with like a bunch of screenplays, and James said like he like wouldn't touch it for a couple of years because obviously it's too hard, too much, and he just didn't want to deal with it at the time. And he said he went in there and like the first one that was there was Murder Anyone, and that's when he went with.
I love the idea that he just starts at the top of the list and just works his way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was right at the top, but it was. He said it's not like it was one of the first ones that kind of.
I was going to say the fact
jumped out at him.
The fact that it is this one and it's so meta.
Mm-hmm.
You know the entire principle that we get to see these people coming up with the story, and that it's so entertaining the way that it's done, because a lot of the humor. Now that I think back on it, that when we were talking during the interview and I was saying there was a lot of lines that I couldn't remember that had me laughing, a lot of that humor was derived from the two writers going back and forth with their ideas. You know, one of them would come up with something, the other one's looking over his shoulder going, what the fuck are you doing? You know, yeah. Or the other one comes up with a notion, he's like, that would be stupid, we can't do that.
Also, the dynamic between the two writers, did you know each other anyway? Yeah. But you can tell that they know each other. It's such a natural... bounce chemistry. Back and forth between each other with the way the conversations unfold. Yeah. Even though it's scripted, it's you can tell it's a load of people wrote a script that a load of people who know each other. If you know what I mean, because it's so fluid and natural. And like as Giz said, like not to harp back on it, but it is like it's why I've kind of picked up on how natural everything felt, because it literally felt like watching Giz and I having a script writing session. About one of the things is just this fucking giving each other fucking shit kind of thing, but like, you know, it was really funny, really good.
Yeah, it was cool because like you definitely, like I was saying in the interview, like you tell it was definitely a passion project for him. He got a lot of people that was like involved in his dad's life and who actually was in the original play to be a part of it. So it was really cool that he was able to bring like familiar people to the story, to everything about it, as opposed to just, I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't have played off as well if it was just random actors that he hired, but it definitely made it work that it was almost the people that the story was based on.
And also in credit to James's visual storytelling style in relation to this, it's very smart the way some of the shots are done. Like when the playwright guy is talking, everything is kind of on a very front facing, as if you're sitting there watching a stage. And then when it's the guy who's trying to write the movie screenplay is doing it, that's when you get these action scenes and they have multiple shots and things like that and everything. And it's a really obvious but yet subtle way of letting you see each person's conversation through their eyes. Yeah. Or visualization through their eyes, or whatever way you want to put
There's also a slight shift in the way that once again the exact way that you were saying it, there's the you know, the movie guy has all the action scenes. There's also a slight shift in the way that the characters deliver their dialogue, the dialogue that they're writing. You know, the presentation for the movie guy seems almost TV movie of the week, whereas when the playwright guy is doing it, it seems
he's writing an exploitation movie. That's what his aim of the game is.
Yeah. Whereas when the other guy's doing it, the performers are delivering their lines a little bit more
Shakespearean.
Yeah, stage like Shakespearean, I guess, is the best way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what I love about this movie is like there's so many subtle little things throughout that show you that switch over between everything.
And that was one of the things that I was actually going to ask him before we ran out of time was like, what inspirations did he get for that? Like that style, like what, like how he set up a lot of the, like what went behind the idea to do it like that. I mean, I would say it's obvious, but like, like I just love, like you said, just love how like they just every shot fit the person telling the story. It was different when they would go from guy when each guy was kind of given their thing.
You'd be reading the stage directions because, as like as you said, they're all adapted from stage plays by his dad, or it is adapted from a stage play by his dad. So the stage play script directions are much different to like a movie script, like you would have seen me write for you guys. So presumably, I don't know. It would have been a fantastic question if we thought about that when we were we were on air, I would assume that it's probably him being a really good movie director and seeing the way it was laid out on stage.
And for somebody who said, like in the interview, who said he doesn't naturally really do comedy stuff,
the reason I said it was because it's true. Like he's mostly horror and action movies.
But this is something that I don't know if we've discussed on the show before, but myself and Johnny have talked about it before. The timing required to do good horror is virtually identical to the timing required to do good comedy, because it's all set up and lead, and then the delivery of the punchline or the kill or whatever at the appropriate moment and in the right way.
I think it's why comedy and horror work so well, seamlessly together, as well as a genre blend.
And it's often why I'm so annoyed when we see horror movies that could do with elements of levity, because it wouldn't take much to put them in there, especially, like I said, considering that the timing and everything else, if you're getting one thing right, you're going to be able to get the other thing right.
And it definitely, because of like with it,
it's too different. It's still salt and pepper, if you know what I mean.
True, but you're shaking them the same way.
Yeah, and but you can do too much of what, you know what I mean. While very similar in the setups, it's different still.
And I mentioned too with his dad being kind of like a comedy guy majority of his life. So it's like, I'm sure he probably definitely took some stuff from that, you know, being around his dad all and stuff like that. Obviously, he's got to do it his own way, but like, I'm sure he definitely had the influence of like seeing his dad doing it for all those years. Because like, I don't know, the people in the chat don't know, like his dad was the writer on Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs, a ton of comedy stuff.
One of the guys in the movie is the voice of Brain on Animaniacs.
The
guy who plays his dad, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the one.
His dad is the screenplay writer.
He was the one that wanted to be the movie.
No, his dad is the one that wanted it to be a play.
Yeah,
the guy who
Pinky in the Brain is the guy doing the.
Yeah, he pretty much plays himself.
Yeah, the guy who voiced Brain in Pinky in the Brain is the one that wanted everything to be a movie. but yeah, I really liked it. It was really. Oh, I saw you.
Oh no, sorry, that has nothing to do with you.
Okay, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I don't know where I was going. I got sidetracked.
I dug the cast. Some of them have done other stuff, like other movies, stuff like that. But I don't know. We talk about the chemistry between the two writers, but I don't know. It's also like in the cast, the rest of them too, just the way they play off each other. Like it almost seemed like this was going to be one of those like fun sets to be a part of, and just how everybody flowed and got along and stuff.
Yeah, you could definitely tell. Like, it was easier with the, like, obviously you could tell with the two writers. You could definitely tell the chemistry there. But yeah, the cast really seemed like they were able to feed off each other really well.
Yeah.
I just realized. Do you remember that PS4 game, the kind of live action movie walkthrough thing?
The thing with the chick?
Was that called Until Dawn?
Oh, the one that I was doing on Twitch?
PS4. You had me down at the house playing it with you one night.
No, Until Dawn is the one that I was streaming on Twitch.
Huh.
Different. It's very Breaking Bad.
Well, Oh, crap. Bridget. The actress that plays Bridget.
Huh.
Is one of the leads in that.
All right. What in Until Dawn?
She's Ashley in the PS4 Smash It video game Until Dawn.
Okay.
She also played the live action version of Gwen Tennyson in the Ben 10 film and was Cassidy in The Middle. She's been in a bunch of stuff, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, the dude in Chicken Suit's also a child actor that's grown up doing a bunch of stuff.
He was in Santa Claus 2 and 3, I think. That's what I remember him from.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus is Tim Allen who flashes people.
Right. So, anyway, we'll start moving into the trailer. Anyone interested in seeing this? It's out on digital release on February 7th from Uncorked Entertainment. No news on streaming as of yet. Is there? No. It will release digital February 7th. So check out Uncorked Entertainment's page next month, which is also a pretty good stamp of approval, the fact it's Uncorked.
Yes.
That's it. So we're going to hit the trailer for Murder Anyone so you can actually see what the hell we're on about. And then we'll be back to do some ratings and talk about some crazy laws from around America.
Maybe.
Mostly America.
Mostly.
Presumably.
Probably America.
Back in a minute.
Well, cheers.
The chicken costume was a last minute decision. I was going to go as Freddy Krueger, but I've gone as old Freddy for every costume party and Halloween outing since I was 9.
Well, it's a very good chicken costume.
And it suits you.
Mm-hmm.
It does, sort of.
How so, would you say?
Well, you see, I've got a dreadful heart condition, any severe shock, and I could drop dead right here. So naturally, I'm timid of things like horror films and violence, you know.
But you dress like Freddy Krueger.
Well, if I dress like the scary thing, I'm not likely to get scared now, am I?
Very clever.
Look.
Actually, we're going to pop back here for a minute because that's a sneak peek clip instead of the trailer. Which the sneak peek clip does give you a good feel for the movie, but I want you to see the trailer because the trailer is impeccably well done.
It gives you a broader...
Very well put.
More. I don't think I've actually seen the trailer before. I just kind of grabbed...
I think Johnny and I watched it when we...
We did the other night.
Yeah. When you left... We stayed after school. Detention.
I'll tell you what we could do. We could do our ratings while we wait for this to download.
I give it an 8.
9.
Yeah, I'm going with an 8 as well.
Absolutely. Like, it's funny. It's definitely, like, you can definitely tell that it's, like, it's made with love. And hearing the story behind it and like how like it all came to be, like it's, I don't know, I really liked it. 8.
I'm gonna give it a 9 with Carter. The comedy timing in it is so fantastically well done. I literally couldn't find a fault in it at all. As I said earlier, the way they managed to kind of give you a feel for screenplay when they're talking about the screenplay and give you a feel for stage play when they're talking about the stage play is really well done and adds to the movie. Everyone's acting and it's brilliant. The comedy's off the wall, zany, and the two guys that play the writers are absolutely fantastic. So that's a 9 for me. Anyone else have any points they want to say before?
No, overall I enjoyed the film. I liked the banter back and forth and stuff between the two writers. Like I said, I think that's where some of the best comedic lines came from for me. Possibly, like I said, because it was so reminiscent of basically me and you working on the show. I liked a lot of the stuff that they did visually with the transitions. Like I said, like I was saying during the interview, how as the writers are changing stuff, we visually see it. Yeah, it was fun. It was good. I liked it.
You can definitely tell, like, with the banter between the two, that, like, it's kind of, it's real. Like, it's obviously written dialogue, but, like, you could tell that it's something that they may have actually, since they've known each other, like, they may have actually done at some point, maybe. but you could definitely, to me, I could definitely tell that like there was realness behind the dialogue and the interactions.
And I gotta say, because and I only throw this out there because, you know, sometimes we turn it off and we think the movie's over. There's the post-credit scene that you should stick around for.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's cool. Actually, that was another reason I wanted to give points to the movie was this movie is meta as fuck from the start, literally from the start of the movie right up until the after credits scene. The landslide of meta-ness and the way this is put together ceases to halt at all, which is hard to do without it being tacky a lot of the time. And right. The meta nearly was inherently as much of a character in the plot as any one of the actors. And I think it's amazing the way that all played out. Like, I really loved... I like a bit of meta humor in a while, but I've never seen something been an hour and a half start to finish meta as fuck. And this was meta as fuck. And I loved
it. And done right.
And it'd be good. Yeah.
Sometimes they try to do that and it just, like, it's so obvious to where it's like... or just falls flat and you're just like, yeah, that didn't work. This like worked 100%.
Right. We actually have the Murder Anyone trailer lined up now properly, opposed to the sneak peek. So we'll be back in a minute.
No matter how secure you are, how safe you feel, danger could be right at your shoulder.
Are you going to write any of this?
I wrote plenty.
Plenty?
You wrote Act One.
Okay. Richard enters. He's a pleasant-looking chap with a perpetual grin.
He's dressed in tennis clothes.
Murder? Anyone?
Isn't it a little early in the play to show that Richard's a psycho killer?
Well, it does take a bit of the pressure off, doesn't it?
Wait a second, what is that?
Someone in a chicken costume.
Why is it someone in a chicken costume?
This is where we reveal that something is going on that the audience didn't realize.
There's something going on that I didn't realize.
You'd like to murder me, Blaine?
We can't have a psychic.
I am Mary Clemens. I am blind.
I've been summoned.
By whom?
The dead.
Oh, this play could be our meal ticket.
Hirakata.
Ha-cha-cha!
Let's go, Cooper!
This is the final straw.
Murder? Anyone?
Kung Fu zombies and Marilyn Monroe, and now a vampire?
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Love it. That's the reason I specifically was like, oh shit, I don't want to watch the sneak peek. I wanted you to get a full scope of the madness that is this movie. Like, watching the actors just change live in front of you is fucking hilarious. Really liked it. Well, that is an 8.5, by the way, from the Gorecast boys. For
yes, Tristan, you do need to watch it.
Definitely need to watch this.
You need to watch it. It's very good.
February 7th, you'll be able to.
Yes. Where's my window capture gun?
I don't know.
That was terrifying. That was terrifying. Anyway, as is customary over in the world of the Gorecast, Buzz, or occasionally evidently Bill, but today Buzz, scoured through the internet to find us some of the weirdest laws from around America, possibly.
America,
possibly the world, but judging by the way these things go, most likely America.
Yep.
Right.
We keep it weird.
We keep it weird. Yes, we do. Oh, yeah, I should probably get rid of that rating. Hey, where did it go? What did it be? Where did it, there it is. Yet again, before we go on as well, February 7th, yeah, for Murder Anyone on Court Entertainment, you'll be able to purchase or rent. There, let me just double check here and make sure that we don't have, before we get into this. No, okay, perfect. Anyway, in Devon, Texas, it is against the law to make furniture while nude.
I feel like that's just a safety issue.
I was, you know, won't lie to you, right there with you.
Anyone else having visions of bad things happening with bandsaws?
Chisel.
Yep.
Chisel.
Funny
one slip of a chisel and
the first place I went.
One slip of a chisel and it's
bye-bye, my snizzle.
Any visuals at all.
Yeah, I chisel my snizzle, yep. Funizzle. Next.
No, I'm drizzle.
In Florida, the nutsack of America, from what we've been told. Men seen publicly in any kind of strapless gown can be fined.
But not will be.
Yeah. I suppose it depends how you're wearing it.
Yeah. How sassy you get with the police officers.
God dang.
Weird. Even for Florida, weird.
In New York, the penalty for jumping off a building is death. That's New York, just... That's called time efficient judicial systems.
He survived.
They keep it simple.
No, didn't.
In New York City, it is illegal for a restaurant to call a sandwich a cornered beef sandwich, or corned beef sandwich, as they say, if it is made with white bread and mayonnaise.
Okay.
Illegal.
New York, you get some weird laws.
What is it supposed to be made with?
I have no idea.
That's actually what I was curious about.
I understand the mayonnaise, but what's the problem with white bread?
I think there's...
That being said, I wouldn't eat corned beef myself personally anyway, but...
Corned beef is good.
I really like corned beef, but...
And again, I wouldn't eat mayonnaise. The only thing I'd eat there is the white bread, so I'm kind of like, what?
All right.
I like mayonnaise.
We're on a TV show called, or on a page called Delish, How to Make a Corned Beef Sandwich.
That looks like a mountain of artery clogger.
4 tablespoons of butter, softened. 8 slices of rye bread. Okay. 1/4 mustard. 1/4 cup of mustard. 1/4 cup of relish. Deli corned beef and sauerkraut.
That's way more complex than just bread, butter and corned beef.
Yeah, I think that's why they're saying it's illegal to call bread, butter and corned beef a corned beef sandwich.
They didn't say bread, butter and corned beef. They said bread, mayonnaise, white bread, mayonnaise and corned beef.
Yep.
You can't use white bread or mayonnaise.
Yeah.
They also can't tell me what to do with the sandwiches.
They can in New York. It's
they
the law.
If you're in New York.
Oh, I'm not in New York. You know what? I've had a corned beef omelet.
Cags, if you're in the chat, we need you to clarify the reality of this. In France, it is against the law to sell an E.T. doll. They have a law forbidding the sale of dolls that do not have human faces. Would like to know how that came about.
The one time he's not around.
They made the E.T. Oh no, that wasn't the doll. That was like the finger back in the 80s that pretty much looked like a dildo. It was just E.T.'s finger that you were supposed to put
on. Phone at home, E.T. Phone at home.
E.T.'s dialing my digits.
It's like Snow White sitting on Pinocchio screaming, lie to me.
Buongiorno. In Louisiana, biting someone with your natural teeth is considered simple assault, but biting someone with your dentures is aggravated assault. Because presumably you're carrying the weapon opposed to it being part of your person.
But be in your mouth.
Okay.
I love Tristan's approach. Cags, we're playing Fall Guys. Perhaps it's because the dentures could be sharpened.
In England, it is illegal to die in the Houses of Parliament.
Let's see if you can do anything about it. What are you going to charge?
You're going to jail for a while, bud.
In Los Angeles, California, it is illegal for a waiter to tell a customer, I'm really an actor.
That actually would make sense.
That makes a lot of sense. It should also be illegal for them to go, I wrote this screenplay. Don't care. What I would like you to do is write me down my order that I just gave you and then pop it on a plate and bring it over.
I want my corned beef sandwich on white bread and mayonnaise. This is California, not New York.
Roach, you said that's true about Parliament. I'd believe it.
All these are true. That's
they're
the
all real.
Part.
And yeah, then it's not like that's the end of it. Up. Now we're at a screaming man from the movie. Yeah. Also my reaction while watching this movie about 40 minutes in.
That was my reaction about the corned beef sandwich law.
Why?
I like mayonnaise. That's all I'm gonna say.
Did we start early or something?
No.
How are we on for an hour and 42 minutes, but it's only half one?
Because I think we started on time.
Yeah, I was going to say we start on time instead of...
Yeah, if we started on time, then it would be 1:42.
We also do three movies. And we always sidetrack when we're doing shit.
But we had an interview. No, but I'm saying...
it was a hard 20.
What I'm saying is the times don't match up. And I'm also pretty sure we started after 12 o'clock.
It was 7:03 my time when we started, and it's 8:30, so that's about an hour and a half almost.
Yeah, it's saying we're live for an hour 43 minutes.
It's probably one of the shortest Thursday episodes.
Because didn't you have the thingy going starting soon for a while before we actually went on?
Yes, but that would still completely add up. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's what's going on. Never mind. Yeah, okay. You're completely right. Yeah.
It's okay. When we
didn't.
Out,
we didn't just start on time. We also had started properly on time, where we had the thing rolling for 15 minutes before we went live.
Because we've been.
I was sitting there, kind of going, "Why is he not getting this?"
I've been working all day, dude.
We already started. We started early because we had the interview, so we kind of just sat here. So it was easy to start on
Rochi,
time.
Rochi, would you please explain to people the game we were playing tomorrow? Because it might be something we will do on a Sunday night. Because it was very fun. Ghostbusters was a 5. I totally agree.
He needs to come with new material because that's just, it's old shit.
Yeah, but it's true. He's just spitting facts. Rochi, tell us about the name of the game. Gatgaphone? Basically, there's one of these games that, I'm wondering, can I play that GIF on here? There's one of these games on this Gatgaphone thing where you have to make an animation as a team. So it's like everyone starts and everyone draws like the first cell of an animation, then it swaps around, so you'll have to draw the next cell of somebody else's animation. Let me show you the results of one of these things. Let me find you the results of one of these things, because it's, I'm going to tell you guys,
Fall Guys working.
Nice. Let me just tell you, because it's a thing of beauty. I wish I could go by it frame by frame and then show you the... where's the movie trailers? Trailer video. We can pop it in here. This is a thing of beauty, by the way. Just to let you know. Which one is dog humping a rocket? There we go. Just bear in mind, this is not how anyone intended anything to start. By the way. No, that's the wrong one. Where's window capture? There we go. And we need to put on the trailer, which is this. Okay, here we go. Let's just put this up on the big screen. So there was only 4 of us playing, so it's only like 4 cells of an animation. They get dark really fast. That is true. There we go. Let you see all the beauty. So it starts off as a rocket. Then it turns into a cocket. And then the dog decides to hump the rocket. No, it starts off as a dog. Yeah. Let's see. I'll show you some other ones. But these are the results. But imagine if we had our usual like 9 to 12 people, where we have 12 frames to fuck around with. Yes, Charlie's down. Charlie already knows what Gatgaphone is.
Tristan, oh, this fucking game.
Yeah. I've never heard of it. What's this one? Is this the one? The ninjas one actually turned out okay. What's this one? Oh yeah,
Tristan, this would stress me out on a Sunday night.
It's pooping.
Is that a gold Gotham? What the fuck?
There was a stage where no matter what people drew, I blew it up with a rocket. Oh. It's good times. But yeah. We might do that some Sunday night. Not for the whole night. We'll do like
half an hour, get a couple of rounds of it in, and then we'll play some other game. What's this one? I don't know if some of these aren't. Good times. That's it. Anyway, that's it from us. I'll be back over tomorrow night. We'll have the later start on Twitch as usual because it's Fem Bam Friday, I think. So, no, it's definitely Fem Bam Friday. So expect all of the Cankle Cranker crew running around causing some mischief with some Aunt Peggy action. And other than that, we'll be back Sunday night where we're probably going to play some Gatcophone and then do some Fall Guys or Goose Goose Duck. Charlie, while you're here, quick question. Is it you can't play Fall Guys at all? Or you need some notice to play Fall Guys?
It's all wait and stare at our phones.
I think I added a nice bit of drama with the lollipop. I did it like a Kojak afterwards.
So, don't mind telling me, where are you on Sunday around 12:30, 9 p.m?
Lollipop.
Nope. Need to find a setup. Okay, cool. Well, it'll be Goose Goose Duck Sunday, so.
Works for me. Less chance
and some Gatka fun.
That's my song to sing.
Hello? What's this? Facebook? Roachy sent me messages Roachy live. Roachy
just sent you a DM.
Can Johnny read the DM live on air?
Is this an actual thing?
We don't know. How many licks does
you're picking,
it take?
You're picking a fight with a Steiner, bro. Yep, that's pretty much how I expected it to go. That's definitely a real fight.
What the what? Who picked a fight with a Steiner?
One moment.
Physics.
Uno momento. God dang.
Charlie's Xbox is stored away somewhere since the move.
Gotcha.
Boo-dee-boo-ba-dee-boo.
Tell me, what, was it like a normal person that made that foolish mistake?
No, it's another? In the fucking... it looks like it's in the NXT Training Center.
Oh, that was... what the fuck is his name? The guy that he's going to be wrestling for, I think it's staged.
They look like they were kicking the tits off each other.
They're wrestling each other for the title at the next pay-per-view. I think it was what the fuck is his name? Australian guy, I think.
It's Braun Breaker versus,
I know that, the guy that he something where, no, what the fuck is his name? God damn it.
Here. Let me know when you're ready. Everybody there?
Yeah, I can see it.
Grayson Waller, that's who it was. He's going to be defending the title against Benjamin Steiner.
I don't know. Did he say something in a promo that pissed him off, maybe?
Because I saw a different...
Because he looks like he proper punched.
I mean, he may have.
Maybe not, actually.
I think it's staged. Because, like I said, they've been having a bunch of people like film.
Nobody actually got hit there.
No, there was one like NXT trainer that was there, and she was like doing a live stream or something with like
yes,
people, and then
is,
it like.
This is staged, my friend.
Yeah. That happened about 2 or 3 days ago, I think.
Yeah, no, that's some for some advertising.
Yeah.
Because he didn't hit him with that first punch and no one was holding him back at that stage.
Mm.
So, good advertising.
I think, they even made it onto the show, I think, on NXT, I think they showed some of it on there.
But if they're showing it, then it's definitely staged.
Unless they're like, ooh, we could make it look like it was staged. But I think it was staged.
I think it's staged.
Yeah.
We solved the case, guys.
Charlie's just like, muscles.
A lot of muscles there.
Right, we're going to hop off. I'll see you tomorrow night over on Twitch, and then we'll see you Sunday night for some games over here. Catch you later, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't forget, if you enjoy our Madcap Gorecast horror hijinks, we stream three nights a week over on YouTube, Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays, where you can see a little bit of this. Turd spoon, god damn, I knew there was something I wanted to bring up in the... God damn, I don't know what a fucking turd spoon is, but I'm mad to...
Yeah, pretty in-depth.
Most definitely some of this.
With a new 2009 twist. She pulls out of her vagina.
I'll give it to her, though, because, like... You know how, like, magicians kind of, like, do something and they pause dramatically? She took that dramatic pause.
And occasionally, some of this.
Our favorite Halloween movies.
What's up, Gorecasters? Welcome back here to the Gorecast. Yeah, okay, I'm here. I'm back.
Thank you.